So we're in our fourth part, entitled Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. All right, Psalms, and we're looking at the last four verses, all right? 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, five verses. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord.
Trying to get the other screen beside it, but I don't know how to do it, so.
Sorry. In this week's last part of our Psalms 115 study, we'll look at these very reassuring verses that remind us of the spiritual increase that comes from God alone, and how this blessing from the Lord is connected with our believing and understanding that God is the one working in our heaven and earth, where Christ has told us in our heaven and earth, I go to prepare a place for you. Mention again in the next verse, if I go and prepare a place for you, of John 14, verses 1 to 4. So we'll just read that. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. We are those many mansions. We are those pillars and mansions, those houses, the cloud of witness. The elect are referred to as many things. But he says right here, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, in the way you know. We know Christ is the way and the life and the truth, and that plays into what we're going to talk about, because he is the one who makes it possible for us to have this relationship that we have with Christ in earnest, with our Father in earnest. It's an earnest relationship because it's not in the fullness. Christ has gone to this place, which is a heavenly place with our Father, where we can be received of him as he stated in the next verse. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There is a witness in the words, I go to prepare a place for you, being mentioned twice to remind us that we go to our Father through Christ, who is the true witness, who makes it possible for us to be accepted and received before our Father through him. Just, we'll read these verses. We know these verses, but it's good to see them side by each. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Jesus said unto him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. So it's interesting because we look at that and think right away, Jesus, only Jesus, but think of his body. We are accepted in each other. We follow each other as we follow Christ. We're raised together in heavenly places. We come unto the Father through each other. We learn. That's what Christ said to Philip. Have I been so long with you? And you say, show me the Father. Well, he said, if you see me, you see the Father. So I see the Father in you when I see Christ in you. And that's, of course, how we are to look at each other. We are Jesus Christ. And in that day, at that day, which we're going to read now. Today, we are experiencing the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And the Spirit of God bears witness to the children of God today, which was in an earlier email that Mike had written, that you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you, that you shall know. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. John 14:20. And that's what the Spirit's bearing witness to us. That's why the Lord has us writing emails and saying the same thing and having the same mind to remind us of that point, that very important point, that we're not alone. God never leaves or forsakes us, but he never leaves or forsakes us as a body. God's elect are experiencing this tremendous honor to dwell with Christ and God the Father. And in the next verse, right after telling us we are received of Christ and we are received of each other, we receive Christ in each other, the desire that God has given his obedient children who are abiding with him is stated. Right after he talks about that connection that we have with each other. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. When we have love to one another, we are manifesting that we have love toward God and that we are his disciples. In 1 John 4:20 and 21, if a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. Or his neighbor, or anybody, who's my brother? You know, we know the parable of the Good Samaritan there. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. So love is connected to obedience to God's commandments. John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. It is in this heavenly place of our hearts and minds that the Lord prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, that you anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over, that we are being sanctified by the word of God today. So that's where that's happening, so that we can be used to save the rest of humanity through a sanctification process that God's elect are blessed to experience first, as we are sent into the world, even while we touch not the unclean things of this world by overcoming sin through Christ. In Psalms 23:5-6, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. That imagery is so beautiful. Yeah, you, when God does something, he gives you the power and the strength through Christ to endure it and to make sure that that witness is effective. Your cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In John 17:17-18, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. And of course, we're kept from the evil by being sanctified with the word of God. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. The heavenly places is where God's elect dwell in a careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Earnest relationship today with Christ and his Christ. And it is at this altar that we can receive peace that passes all understanding, as we offer up the sacrifice of praise to our Lord, who we will bless from this time forth and forevermore, as mentioned in verse 18. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And of course, that's a process to learn how to do that, is God knows that we don't realize how much we can rely on him and trust him. He is helping us put off our flesh so that we can have that intimate, deep, profound, strengthened, settled relationship where we're trusting him for everything. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. unto the praise of his glory. So everything that's happening here in the earnest is unto the praise of his glory. He's doing this, both to will and to do. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. And finally, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So that's the benefit of coming boldly before the throne to obtain that grace. The chastening hurts. The trials that we go through are hard, but we know it brings forth the peaceful fruit of righteousness that God promises. We are in the world, but not of the world, and instructed to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but rather to delight ourselves in the law of the Lord, like we just read in John 14, keeping God's commandments. And in his law does he, we, are to meditate day and night, day and night. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. This meditation and thinking on things mentioned in Philippians 4:8 is the only way we will ever have peace that passes all understanding and be like a tree planted by the rivers of water mentioned in Psalms verse 3, chapter 1. Because those words of life from Christ are the living waters that our souls are blessed to thirst after. So that's the gift that God gives us, that hunger, that thirst. God's children are growing as the Lord directs our lives to think on whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, even while we come out of her, my people. So it's a twofold event. You're coming out, but you're also replacing your thoughts, and the new mind, a new creation is being formed, which is now starting to dwell on these things that are pure and honest and lovely and just. Even while we come out of her, my people, by obeying the commandments in Psalms 1 that tell us, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Of course, we're in the world, we're not called out of the world, but we know what Christ is telling us. He's saying that walk circumspectly and flee fornication, idolatry, youthful lust, riches, all the things that we're commanded to do. Knowing Christ is the author and finisher of our faith, we can be greatly encouraged and confident and not be wearied and faint in your minds as we consider that it is Christ who has suffered for us so that he can comfort us now and move his body, the church, to comfort each other through this life. That is the encouragement that we are promised we will find if we come out of this world and bear each other's burdens, which burden often comes in the form of the reproach that Christ and his Christ have to endure in this life without the camp. God does not want us to fear that reproach. We talked about that last week. But see it rather as a witness that your names are written in heaven and that he is working with you, as he did with Joseph, who typifies the elect's lifelong journey to becoming kings and priests and rulers under Jesus Christ. It has been granted to God's elect to be priests of God and of Christ, who shall reign with him 1,000 years, and to be the wife of Christ, who has made herself ready, and to have been made us unto our God kings and priests, and we who shall reign on the earth. Now this section here talks a little bit about that reproach and how we are to look at that. Hebrews 12:3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So he was He bore that infirmity for our sakes so that we could do the same thing. Hebrews 13:13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Wherein, in 1 Peter 4:4, they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So that's one way that we receive reproach. We talked about people celebrating days, months, times, and years. But even more than that, when our doctrine, when we obey God's commandments and it doesn't line up with the world, that there's a reproach there. You're separated, and people look down on you. Revelation 26, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, and such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation 19:5-8. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, and you that fear him, both small and great. And I just came to mind when I read that, you that fear him, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, as he's able to save us, and was heard in that he feared. So there is a connection with the flesh and the elect being saved first in our flesh because we fear God. 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And judgment begins in the house of God with us. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So that's the readiness he's talking about. And of course, it's Christ's righteousness. We didn't make ourselves ready. The Lord moved us and cleansed us and washed us and sanctified us and made our garments white through our trials, through the affliction and the persecution and the tribulation that he promises we will be able to endure, so that we will be made ready. Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. In Revelation 5:10, two 5:10s are, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. He's made us that. Here's the word reproach. And I just brought it out to show what it means, but to defame, to rail, chide, cast in teeth. If that doesn't make you think of Christ on the cross, I don't know what would, because that's what they did. They chided him. And that's what we talked about earlier. You know, you don't run to the same excess. The world chides you and taunts you, and yet you're in the most secure place when you're on that cross with Christ. And as I've said many times, you know, like, Christ, come down, save yourself. That's what the world wants us to do, but we say, no, this is where we want to be. We want to go without the camp and bear his reproach, and be blessed to endure all things through Jesus Christ. God's elect are called to lift the hands which hang down and the feeble knees in each other, as each joint supplies what the body needs, witnessing to that great cloud of witness within us that is Christ in us, our hope of glory, who gives us the power to go without the camp and hold each other up through this life. This love and encouragement happens via a fitly framed body of Christ, or temple, or cloud, that has been called to consider him, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. So, you know, that's the key, as Christ said to Thomas, look at my wounds, consider what this body is going through. Consider everything, because that's for your sake. It's a good thing, and it's what heals us. It's actually very counterintuitive, but the suffering that we go through is actually what's bringing healing to the body of Christ. and to consider that he, Christ, is a high priest who understands what we are going through, and he can give us the strength to keep bearing his reproach so that we can continue to keep receiving God's kingdom that is within and being received or entered into in down payment form, because we know there's going to be the fullness of that event when the resurrection comes. But that's all happening as a result of the much tribulation that we go through. And just look quickly at Acts 14:22. It says that, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So we enter into that kingdom every day as we die daily. To enter into the kingdom is to have Christ rule and reign in our hearts and minds. Yes, it's in earnest, but it's the kingdom of God is within, Christ said. It's here, within. That kingdom will be manifest to all of the world without, at an appointed time that is only known by our Father, and God's elect will be resurrected in the first resurrection. And that is the outward fulfillment that we are groaning for. There's another verse that was talked about today in Romans 8:19. Well, I will read 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. For the earnest expectation of the creature, and if we look at Ephesians 1:14, which is the earnest, that's the earnest, so it's connected to this time, to us, to the elect, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits. In your patience, possess your souls. Christ says, waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, the hope of glory within us. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. This is the creature he's talking about, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. He's talking about God's elect. In last week's study, we looked at how being able to trust God is a miracle and witnesses to the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty that he's working within his workmanship, the church. Right after Hebrews 11, the chapter Christians deem the faith chapter, we are told in Hebrews 12:1 that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, which we know represent the elect, is represented by that Hebrews 11, that is represented by that elaborate list of witnesses in Hebrews, in chapter 11. So that cloud of witnesses that he's talking about in Hebrews 12:1 is all of that cloud of witnesses spoken of in chapter 11 of Hebrews, whose books and lifetime of experiences were written for our sakes. And that's the point I want to make. And that's what we talked about, I think it was on Aaron's study, 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. And we talked about 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, tupos, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come, for us. Today, the true cloud of witness, the Israel of God, has been raised in heavenly places and are being given the power that we need through Christ to overcome in this life. That's what this is telling us. That's why all of those lies were sacrificed, to show us, of course you can put out, you will drink the cup. Look at all of these examples that God's given us, to show us that we are more than conquerors through Christ. That cloud of witness of Hebrews 11 would mean nothing to us at all if we did not have Christ to look unto as the author and finisher of our faith, our hope of glory within, in other words, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, so that all the promises of God in him, including this one in Matthew 20:23, that says, you will drink the cup. He says, you will indeed drink the cup. That's a promise. And in him, Whoops. Where was it? Right here? Oh, yeah. Okay. So who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, so that all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. And that's what I want to emphasize, by us. Promises such as you shall drink indeed of my cup. It is what God is doing through Christ by us that matters. And this is what we are all groaning together as the body of Christ, that witnesses to the world that thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. It's another way of saying, you know, circumcision or non-circumcision don't avail anything. It's the new creation, what God is doing through us. All things are for our sakes. That's what's important to God. That's what God's looking at. That's why we're the apple of his eye. That new creation, what he's doing in us now. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So that's a long introduction, but you'll see it plays into what we're talking about, and obviously it plays into the title of the study, because that's what we've been focused on. The first verse tonight, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. The Lord shall increase you more and more is speaking to the increase that God has ordained for the body of Christ today, but also in the long term as well for the rest of humanity. You and your children are a parable that remind us that we are experiencing as God's kind of first fruits in James 1, is not just for ourselves, but for those who will come after us, each man in his order. Come back here, sorry. So here, I mean, it's right there. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits. It took God's will, his desire to say, this is my first fruit. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So there's an admonition there for the elect. This is something that we have to grow in and say, Lord, help me to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath when I enter into the house of God. Be quicker to listen than to offer the sacrifice of fools, which we do at first, but there's a maturing that has to happen there. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ that is coming. And John 17:20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So that's what Christ prayed. And thinking down the road, speaking of things that are not as though they were, and we'll see the verses in Genesis and John that talk about that. Children can also be likened unto doctrine. And so we are also being told that by keeping God's word, we will reap the benefit of the inheritance of many generations that are promised of those who will inherit eternal life by keeping the words or doctrines of eternal life that Christ has. So that's a parable. And John 6:68 says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And for us today, we say, blessed is that, is he that reads and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And then we have the prophecy in Genesis 22:17 that says, which is speaking of the salvation of all, but this principle of everyone eventually hearing the word, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed. And we know it's one seed because that seed represents Christ, who we are, the body of Christ. As the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. of his enemies. And that there's context there too, because, you know, while we were in the flesh, well, we're that seed, but we still have, as long as we're in the flesh, there is the flesh is an enemy. Flesh is against the spirit is against the flesh. But this is a prophecy that we will possess the gate of his enemies. We will overcome our flesh. We will endure unto the end. And sin will be knocking at the door, but we will rule over it. That's another prophecy that speaks of how we will endure and overcome, and that the Lord will give that increase. That's the increase that he's talking about ultimately, that all men will be saved. God will save all men. But there's an order, and that's what I want to bring out really clearly, the stars and this prophecy to Abraham, to that seed, and to the order. Verse 15, you are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. What does it mean to be blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth? And I underlined we are blessed several times, but we are blessed to be delivered from Satan, who as a roaring lion wants to consume us. That's what it says in 1 Peter. And this reality is typified by Pharaoh and the hand of the Egyptians in this verse in Exodus that says, blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. So that's the miracle that God does for us. He did for Christ. He, you know, they'd come to throw him over a cliff and he'd just walk away and supernaturally, you know, go out of harm's way, which God has been doing all the while for the elect, more than we realize. And Christ said that to Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. We're kept safe, and we covet each other's prayers for that reason, because God will keep us safe, and he will remind us that those prayers matter, and we keep each other safe in that regard. We bear each other's burdens. We pray for each other. God makes heaven and earth and all things within us and without ourselves to work together for his good purpose that is accompanied with his love that is being shed abroad in our hearts. God gives us the power to overcome the devil, who is the god of this world and the prince of the power of the air. So he's got some titles there. He's the god of this world and he's the prince of the power of the air. Here's another, we are blessed of the Lord because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We are blessed by this process of being delivered from the devil as we die daily and understand and are convinced that he who has begun this good work in you will finish it, enabling us to endure unto the end and be saved. That's what Matthew 24:13 says, of course. The same who endures unto the end will be saved. But the only one who's going to endure unto the end, we know, is the one who is granted that, and it'll be through Jesus Christ. We're blessed to walk through the wilderness and to know that God has been mindful of us through the tribulations that are represented by the 40 years found in these verses. We may look at that. Moses, so just verse 7, I mean, actually I would like to read that because it's really telling. Then he turned and took our journey. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, you've compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. We know that's where judgment comes from. And command thou the people, saying, you are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take you good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Meddle not with them. You know, don't like we read earlier, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't meddle with them. For I will not give you of their land. No, nor not so much as a foot breadth. Because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for possession. It's not our possession, it's their possession. It's in the earth, which we will read. You shall buy meat of them for money. That's like the spoiling of the Egyptians, that when Israel came out, that you may eat. And you shall also buy water of them for money, that you may drink. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the works of your hand. He knows you're walking through this great wilderness. And here's the part. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You've lacked nothing. We've lacked nothing physically, and we've lacked nothing really spiritually. Spiritually especially, but in either case. And that's a learning process too. Learning to be content, whether we have a little or a lot. So Moses living 120 years, just think of those multiples of 40 in Deuteronomy 34:7 years, and Aaron living 123 years is another way of looking at how we are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Moses, in this case, represents the natural judgment in the earth, 3 times 40, that process of judgment on our flesh, 3 times 40, that precedes the spiritual process of judgment in our heavens. The natural is first, and then the spiritual. That is typified by those extra 3 years that Aaron lived more than Moses. A lot of judgment can happen in the earth, and this is why I wrote Hebrews 6:1-3 down there, where he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Of the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, aeonian judgment. And this we will do if God permit. If God permit. So there's a lot of judgment there. But God tells us we can only go unto perfection on the third day by being crushed under the stone. And that's the point of those 3 extra years of Aaron's life. That's the spiritual, a type of it. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. That's the first part. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. That's the fiery trials that we go through in this life, so that we can be blessed to endure unto the end through, as a result of those trials. That they're meat for us. They strengthen us. Psalms 115, verse 16, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. Those who have God's spirit within them are his. And that's Romans 8, 9. We'll just quick. Oh, yeah, it's there. That is what this statement, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, is telling us. We are his workmanship. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And then the second part, but the earth has he given to the children of men who live and move and have their being in Christ for our sakes. And we talked about that last week in Aaron's study. Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. That's speaking of pagan Athenians who live and move and have their being in Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:15, for all things are for your sakes. That's how it's possible, because God is directing the hearts of all men. All things are working according to the counsel of God's will, as we know. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. And then our next verse, 17, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. Let the dead bury the dead, Christ told us in Matthew 8, verse 22. And this is the dead that we have to consider when we read this verse 17. It is those who are operating in their flesh by forgetting to take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkness, which is another way of saying examine yourself, judge yourself, so that you don't have to be condemned and be judged in the lake of fire. judge yourself now, which is what happens when we don't do the things that he commands us. So that darkness comes in when we don't do the things that God commands us. Here's another verse that was talked about today. Luke 6:46, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And 1 Corinthians 14:37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Because if you're not acknowledging those are the commandments of the Lord, safety and a multitude of counselors, all the things that Mike talked about in that email, if we're not doing that, then of course we're not obeying the commandments of the Lord. It is those actions of disobedience that turn the light that is in us into darkness. That is what it means to go down into silence in this verse, as witnessed in the words of these verses, which we'll read. This brings us full circle in regard to the earlier verses we read in John that tells us that the fruit of keeping God's commandments is that at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That's what will positively happen by keeping the commandments of God. And verse 38, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. So right after he says that, just go up one. Right after he says, I write unto you, if any man thinks himself to be a prophet, spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But look at what he says right after that. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant, which is why I have this down here. So this is a principle. He that is unjust, let him be. Revelation 22:11. Let him be unjust. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. In other words, don't sit with the scornful. Don't try to convince them. They're convinced that God has done it. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In Psalms 37:1-6, fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass. Grass is an immature state. He doesn't say they shall soon be cut down like a heifer. No, it's grass and wither as the green herb. There may appear to be something there, but there's nothing there. It's an illusion. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. Commit your ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, which was very much talked about in the last couple of studies. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. So it's all of the Lord. I don't want the tone of my voice to ever come across as condemning of those who have been blinded, because we know God's the one who's done it. And it's by his grace and mercy that we are where we are today. Luke 11:34-36, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, and think of the whole body of Christ in this regard, your whole body also is full of light. And when your eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. So when darkness enters into the body of Christ, we deal with it. There's the reason why, because if we don't, the whole body becomes darkened. We have to deal with sin in the body when it manifests, and heresies when they manifest. That's Matthew 18. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkness. If your whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle does give thee light, like the two witnesses that we are to be. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how came you in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. That is what it means to go down into silence. You got nothing to say. And that's, you know, Joseph's brothers as well. They really couldn't say anything. They were shown their sin. They were shown who they were. which is what we will do with Joseph's brothers, God willing, if we endure unto the end, and we administer that like a fire. And that will be of the Lord. Verse 18, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore is really speaking of what we read earlier. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, in Revelation 22, verse 11. And God tells us through the Apostle Paul to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That rejoicing in the Lord always is just another way of saying, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. You know? What an amazing statement. Be joyful. Enjoy yourself in the Lord. Rejoice. It's not going to be easy, but rejoice even through the trials. Be thankful. And God says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Things will go well. You will increase more and more, like we read. King David in Psalms 27 tells us what the chief desire is that God is manifesting in our hearts today. A Psalm of David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. So this is all, there's all inward application there, of course, but there's outward application because we'll be hated by all men for his name's sake. So what was it? He says, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, one thing, that will I seek after. This is Hebrews 10:25. Don't forsake the assembling of the brethren. This is the one thing I want us to all understand, and I think we all do. I think we all understand it very well. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord in each other, and to inquire in his temple, to learn from each other, each joint supplying. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. We're hidden together in that relationship. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, this is the rock we're talking about, Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. The statement, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, is understood by what God is able to do in our lives as he humbles our hearts through a lifetime of much tribulation, so that we can receive a crown of glory that fades not away. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. That's a commandment. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. That's a commandment. And be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, so that you can receive that crown that fades not away. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. That shield of faith, of all things, he says, that's the most important one. Building up your most holy faith, understanding that faith has to be tried in the fire to become stronger so that you're settled and strengthened in the Lord. Knowing this as well, that the same afflictions, that same process is going to happen in each and every one of us. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And that ties into the subject, right? To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. He can do this. He will do this. It is through the humbling experiences of this life that God gives us that we will be blessed to continue to have our confidence in our flesh taken away, making it possible for us to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. God is working with his children and revealing the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty of his hand in our lives, which is the wonderful works being done unto the children of men, and the reason we praise the Lord. And this is the last verse I want to read tonight. They reel to and fro, Psalms 107. They stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He makes the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. And that's that sea of glass that God is making us into. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he brings them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. It's all of the Lord. And that's, you know, when you do a study, God just kept bringing me back to this title. Well, that's why, because every part of Scripture can be related to this verse. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, and the victory and the majesty. And that's our study. Thank you all for coming out.